Should always be so content. I'm happy to see every one of you here today, and we're going to talk about contentment, true contentment today. Now, contentment is a difficult trait to learn, but it's necessary to please God, and it's also necessary for our own happiness, our own peace of mind. And the word contentment means to be sufficient, to be possessed of sufficient strength, to be strong, to be enough for a thing, hence to defend, to ward off, in the middle voice to be satisfied, to be contented with. And Webster says, it is to appease the desires of, to limit oneself in requirements, desires, or actions, freedom from care or discomfort, contented, satisfied. Now I want to talk about a few things here today. This word does not mean that we are to be satisfied with our spiritual attainments. We should always be seeking to grow. We should always be seeking to improve, to learn. And we can also seek achievements in this world. The Bible tells us, and we're going to read the verse later, I think I've got it in this lesson, we are going to always want to work. Because the Bible tells us if we do not work, we shouldn't eat, right? So we're always wanting to work. We can strive to have goals and to do things. But the foundation of our life should be contentment. Now what it does mean is that we should be free from worry or discomfort regarding these material things that surround us. And in this country we have commercials. You know, these are usually about material things or services. And it can make us think sometimes, oh, I need that in order to be happy. But we need very little in reality in order to be content. I like that word a little bit better than happiness, but we need very little in essence. And today we're going to study three main passages in the New Testament that focus on contentment. The first one is Philippians 4, verses 11 and 12. Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. And this is Paul speaking. And he says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I've learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. So we learn here that contentment is something to be learned. It's something to be sought after. It's something that we can gain. It's not something given to us automatically. It's not a miracle given to us. It's something we have to work at. And one of the best examples to follow in the Bible to learn that contentment is the man that's speaking right here. It's Paul. He shows us how to be content. Paul counted everything as loss when it came to gaining Christ. All the other things, they were loss. It was Christ that he wanted. After speaking about the fact that he was a well-educated and a prominent member of Jewish society, Paul tells us he gave up the power that he had there to follow after Christ. Let's read that. Philippians 3, verse 7, he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. In other words, the things he could have gained there, the power, the prestige, he could have been a very prominent member of Jewish society. But they were nothing, those things, compared to serving Christ. And that great eternal reward that he was going to get from serving Christ. And he knew that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord. Romans 8:28 says, to those who are the called according to his purpose. So if we follow Christ, he's going to work things to our good. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe. We may see something that happens in our life and we think this cannot turn out for the good, but it will if we trust the Lord. If we trust the Lord, he will turn that thing. He will make it a positive in our life. And Paul also knew that there's nothing permanent here. We see so many people, they're seeking after things. They're going after things, material things, or the next success, or there's people with billions of dollars that are thinking about how they can make billions more dollars. And that's what they get up every day thinking about. We need to watch out that we don't start putting things above Christ. When we put those things that God's blessed us with, the ability to work, the ability to improve, the ability to grow, when we put those things above Christ, they become an idol. And that's where they're dangerous. So in essence, we can look after those things. We can go after things. We can grow. We can have goals in our, if we want to get promoted, this is fine. If you want a raise, that's fine. But we need to not put those things above Christ, because nothing is permanent here. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, we read, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And Satan, he's going to put things there that you can see. He's going to put things there that tempt you. Yes, you particularly. He's smart. He's not going to put something out there. Like, if Satan tries to tempt me with lima beans, he knows that's not going to work. I do not like lima beans. There's other things I like, right, that I can be tempted with, that I can be pulled away with, and that's what he's going to go after. Now, Paul's example of contentment is uplifting. It serves as a wonderful example to us. Paul was always battling those temptations. He was pushing them away, and he was saying, you know what? I've got sustenance. I've got enough here, and I've got Christ. That's the number one thing. In Philippians 4, verses 12 and 13, he said, "I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be full, be hungry, to suffer need, and I can do all things through Christ." That's what he says in verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Now, abased, if you're wondering what that word means, it means humiliated or humble. And sometimes we don't want to be humiliated. Our egos get in the way. Well, Paul had a mortal enemy, and one of them was his ego. He would pound that thing down. He was willing to do anything for Christ to get the word out, and he didn't care if he was considered powerful or prestigious. What he did was put Christ first and make sure that Christ appeared to be powerful and prestigious, because he's the only one that deserves it. Sometimes we want to be worshipped. We can't handle it. There's only one being in the universe that can handle being worshipped and do it with justice and purity, and that's God. So when we do it, we turn to Satan. We start getting evil. We start letting power corrupt us. God never does that. God's perfect. So Paul wanted all of that to go to God. And many times Paul was without things. He was without freedom. In Philippians 1, verses 12 and 13, we read, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." There's that, what we were talking about, things turning out for good. "So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ." So the palace guard, they were guarding Paul. He was under arrest, basically. He couldn't leave. But they had to stay with him. We talked about this in Bible class one night. They had to stay with him. So what did Paul do while they were staying with him? He converted them. And then they would go back to their families and they would say, "You know, I'm holding this guy. Really hasn't done anything. I mean, how you talk when you get home. You might talk with your parents or you might talk with your wife." And you say, "Well, he hadn't really done anything. He's a really nice guy. He's telling me about Christ. And there's a lot of evidence." You remember when Christ and it would go into a conversation. This would spread throughout the kingdom in Rome. And isn't that great? Paul was starting to spread the gospel even while he was in prison. And so we need to think about that when we go out to the store. We need to think about that when we go to the library, when we go pay our taxes, whatever we're doing. Whoever you're talking to, let them know as much as you can that you're a follower of Christ. And if they're ready for that, well, then you've left the door open for them. Let's go to our next section of Scripture. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. "Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. And so we learn to what extent we are to have contentment. Food and clothing. Now, in a nation where we do have a lot of things, we have a lot of material goods, we have freedom at this time, it's hard to believe that we should be content with food and clothing. But you know, when you think about it, we of course need shelter as well, but when we think about it, that's really all we need. You got the sunshine. If you're able to get up and move, you know, we're all here today. We made it in here today. What blessings we should have. I mean, what we get and what thankfulness we should have. You know, I want to talk about gratitude a little bit too. Because I think oftentimes as Christians, we do not have enough gratitude, enough thankfulness. James 1:17 says that all good things come down from the Father of lights. All good things come from God. And we need to be grateful for those things on a daily basis. You can write a list and read it every morning when you get up. This will shift your mindset because your mind is really a computer. And it's going to look for things that you put in it regularly. We need to put good things in our mind. Just like you need to put good food in your body. You need to put good thoughts in your mind. Thoughts of gratitude. And when you're feeling gratitude, you can't feel fear. You can't feel worry. If you take yourself in your mind to a place, let's say, where you're hugging your mom, she may not even be here anymore, but imagine how thankful you were for that moment. All the anxiety disappears. It's kind of like trying to think of the inside of your car and the inside of your house at the same time. Can you do that? It flips back and forth, doesn't it? You can't really imagine both of them. So, same way with gratitude and fear. Gratitude and anxiety. So make a place for gratitude in your life. Shift your thoughts more towards that and less towards the things that you don't have and less towards the things that you can't control. Gratitude and the things you can control. Think about those two things and your life will be much better. But let's get back to the lesson because I want to cover one last section of Scripture here. We'll spend a little bit of time on this one. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? One of the biggest things we can be grateful for is that the Lord is our helper. Every day when you get up, the Lord is there, the greatest being in the universe, and He's ready to help you. All you have to do is pray to Him. Because Jesus died, we can now pray and have direct access to God. We are priests, in a way, not in the sense the world thinks today, but in the sense that we have access to God, that Jesus gave us that great gift. And now we can just pray. What a blessing. But many Christians, they're not content. They're continually striving for more of the world's goods or more things. They feel like they're always looking at things that they don't have. But how much happier it would be, how much better, how much more contentment if we looked at the things we had and knew that God was there to help us with all things. When you're trying to strive after material things, you're serving two masters. So let's say you're a Christian, but you are striving daily to go after things, to build yourself up, to attain more and more. Well, what does Jesus say about that? In Matthew 6, verse 24, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammon is money, materialism. We cannot serve these two things. So let's always put God first and enjoy these things that He gave us. Always thinking, look what God gave me. God gave me the ability to go to work today. God gave all of us the ability to come here today. When we think about that ability to get here, our gratitude for being here automatically goes up because we think, well, what if I couldn't get here? What if I couldn't move? What if I was sick? We need to remember, God gives us everything. Every breath comes from God. And it's better to have only a little than to have a lot with sorrow, fear, and problems. So that little gratitude thing about knowing God gives you everything, that's going to make your life more fulfilling than any amount of stuff that you could have. Proverbs 15, verse 16 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure with trouble. Now we think of fear of the Lord, that's bad. But in reality, it's not. It means knowing who your King is. It means submitting and allowing Jesus to take over your life, the Lord to take over your life, to determine what things you're going to do and what things you're not going to do. It takes a lot of pressure off of you. When you're striving for the top and it's dog eat dog, there's a lot of pressure in that. A lot of people have heart attacks straining for that stuff. But with God, we can always know, what do I do? Well, it's right here. This is what I do. It simplifies things. It puts things back the way God wanted them to be. And our blessings, all the things we have, there's nothing wrong with them, especially if we're grateful for them. That's exactly what God wants. He doesn't want us to feel guilty for having things. He's blessed us with those things. He wants us to enjoy them. But we should be content, and we should trust in the Lord, and He is going to provide what we need. Psalm 37, verse 25 says, I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. That's interesting, because I think about that. And I think about the fact that if people came here every Sunday, let's say they did that for a year straight, and they were here every time, I don't believe that you all would let them starve. I don't believe that you all would let them get into much of dire straits. I think you would help them. And people don't realize that, do they? They don't understand that if they would dedicate themselves, dedicate their lives to the Lord, if they would be where they're supposed, I hate to say that word, but supposed to be every Sunday, the Lord would take care of those people. He would take care of them through you. He would take care of them through prayer. He would know that they're striving, and He would most certainly take care of them. And all of you would have a part in that. So let's remember to be content with what we have and to serve the Lord with a true heart. Let's remember to be grateful for all the things that we have, even the ability to breathe. I know my mom's been having trouble breathing after she had COVID and then this whatever it is that sets you back. And they always say, you can have 100 problems, and then when you get a health problem, you only got one problem. And the thing about that is, breathing is such an important part. Lots of our members have had heart issues where your heart speeds up too much. Well, when that happens, you realize just walking around normally is a blessing. And so we need to have these things in our mind, this attitude of gratitude. We also need to realize the Lord is our helper with all the problems of life. There's not one too small. You can pray about every one of them, and He's going to help you. He's there for you every morning when you wake up. And with the Lord on our side, what can men do to us? The answer is ultimately nothing. Our bodies can fail. Our careers can fail. All things. Keep coming to services. Keep putting Christ first. And I promise you, because of what the Bible says, you will be all right. And we are more than conquerors through Him who loves us, Jesus. But in order to have all the comforts I just mentioned, here as well as in eternity, we do need to do what the Lord commands us to do. We need to be right with the Lord. And that means you need to follow all of the commandments in the Bible. We talked last week, you can't make a recipe with just one ingredient. You've got to have all of them, right? So when we look at what God wants us to do to attain salvation, they're all right there in the New Testament for us to look at. I'm going to read them for you today. Now, there are more verses than this, but this will give you a good start. First, you need to hear the Word of God, Romans 10:17. You need to believe in God and believe in Jesus and that Jesus is the Son of God, Hebrews 11:6. You need to repent of your sins. That means turn away from your sins, Luke 13:3. You need to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. You need to be baptized, immersed in water, to show your submission and to be cleansed from your sins, Mark 16:16 and Acts 2:38. And then you need to live faithfully unto death, Revelation 2, verse 10. If you have need of any of these things, but particularly if you have need of baptism or you want the prayers of the congregation, I invite you to come now down to the front row as together we stand and sing.